listening, friends. This is Addie Miller welcoming you to the ongoing series of Discerning the Drift covering Spiritual Renewal Weekends. We've covered a lot of ground thus far, and now we're in the process of going through the techniques that are used in weekend renewal experiences. And we've covered thus far some psychological techniques such as the anticipation buildup, the emotional washing of the group, and the love bombing, which is considered unconditional love. We discussed that from a biblical point of view. And then we went on to cover the details of a lot of that. We left off yesterday getting into the fear of the individual, the fear of missing the high, the emotional exuberance that is promised and actually is pre-planned to manipulate the individual to the degree of this euphoria. So we're covering this in detail because I feel like many people are not aware of Spiritual Renewal Weekends. I've talked to a lot of people who didn't even know they existed. And then I've spoken to other people who knew of their existence, but really didn't know anything about them because everything is really so hush-hush and secretive, and the only information that is allowed to be discussed are very superficial. And then I've spoken to people who have attended some form of Spiritual Renewal Weekend, whether it was a Cursea or Walk to Emmaus or an Acts or even a Faith Walk. And the majority of these people at the onset had glowing reports. Now, I have not discussed the topic with anyone since maybe for the last 2 years. So are we concerned about these people? Did they continue going? Are they still participating? Has the high dissipated, et cetera, et cetera? So because of this, we wanted to cover this topic since the information out there is really non-objective, because all of the information that is allowed out and to be produced and promoted is from a pro Spiritual Renewal Weekend attitude. And we want it to come at it from a very objective point of view, from a biblical point of view. Of course, I've already shared with you that I began studying Spiritual Renewal Weekends probably 8, 10, maybe 12 years ago. And I studied the origins of the Spiritual Renewal Weekends, which is the Church of Rome, Curcio, and the Decalates, which is their version of an ecumenical Spiritual Renewal Weekend. And of course, since then, there's a slew of Spiritual Renewal Weekends that have popped up through Protestantism and evangelicalism. So let's get back to our topics for today. We're using as our resource a book entitled Curcio, Little Courses in Catharsis. And it's written by a Presbyterian pastor named Brian Jansen. So on today's program, we will begin with the fear of missing the high, of the emotional euphoria. So Brother Brian says the following: the centerpiece of the weekend experience is the emotional high that follows the catharsis. That's the breakthrough. If you're not sure what a catharsis is, it's like an emotional breakthrough, breakdown. It's an awakening, an emotional awakening. It's, you know, there's so many slang terms you could use for it. It's getting in touch with the buried emotions of your past. It's a release. There's a lot of synonyms for this, for the word catharsis, but it's an emotional breaking, a breakpoint, or a breakthrough. I continue reading. Often taking place on the second night of the weekend. Now, we're going to get into a little bit more detail about what happens on the Thursday evening, through to the Sunday night. We're going to get into a little bit greater in more minute detail about the particular events that take place further down the road. Right now, we're just setting up, first and foremost, the psychological bent that these spiritual renewal weekends have. The methods and techniques are not from scripture, but they are actually from man. They are from man-centered philosophy. So we made that point, and now we are addressing the methods and techniques that have been borrowed from psychology and have been implemented by all the leadership of all spiritual renewal weekends. It doesn't matter what denomination it's under. They all use the same methods and techniques. All they do is change the verbiage. They change the words, the language that has been used. But they're basically all the same foundationally. Now, Brother Brian continues. He says, psychologists speak of this as catharsis, a purifying or cleansing of the emotions, a technique used in psychoanalysis for relieving tension and anxiety by bringing repressed material to the consciousness. So that's part of the spiritual renewal weekend, is to find these deep-seated, buried at times, personal issues and bring them to the surface so that, in their opinion, you can deal with them. Well, friends, I can tell you, as someone who came to the cross a complete, utter emotional mess, a 3-day weekend, no matter how many I would have gone to, would have never gave me the healing from all of those issues other than the cross and scripture. Now, I think today, because we live in a society that wants instant gratification, I think this is what people are looking for. They go to spiritual renewal weekends to think that they're going to get fixed their emotions, their issues, their difficulties of life are going to get fixed, get rectified, get purified, get completely out of them, and in becoming a changed individual. They think that's going to happen in 3 days. Well, it does not. Like I said prior, it has taken over 3 decades for me to get to the point where I feel like I am not the emotional mess that I was at the beginning when I first, that first moment of salvation that I had in 1985. Now, do I still have an ongoing growth in my sanctification that is needed? Absolutely. It's a process, but the fact that I am not the total ball of mess that I was when I first got saved is a genuine walk with the Lord, being yielded to the Holy Spirit and staying His word and really discovering, finding out, and investigating pastors before I allowed myself to be taught by them, to internalize what they were teaching. Discernment is very, very much needed to make sure that you grow properly in the sanctification of the Lord. Now, this is a side note, friends. This is just a thought that just occurred to me. I have read of incidences that people have had these supposed repressed memories surface, when in the end they found out that the individual who was the psychologist or psychiatrist who was using this technique in psychoanalysis, they suggested an event or a memory, and in turn the patient thought it was their memory, when all the while it had been actually input by the psychiatrist or psychologist that was doing the psychoanalysis. Now, Brother Brian continues. He says, I know it to be powerful and even intoxicating. Remember, he was part of Spiritual Renewal Weekends as a teenager and even into his young adulthood. He continues. He said, you just feel better. Remember how I've always said, do not ever judge anything by feelings, whether you're despondently depressed or ecstatically happy. Never judge anything by your feelings. He continues. With the tension released, the result is a heady euphoria and a quiet contentedness. Now, friends, you know, none of this, once again, none of this can take place over a 3-day period. It is not possible. Plus, our concern at Discerning the Drift is that many of these people have a false understanding of what salvation is. I believe that many of them are simply cultural Christians. The position that I was in prior to my salvation moment in 1985 at the age of 28. So this is our concern, is that you have people walking around that are false converts, and yet they have no idea that they are. Because why? Because they based it on feelings that have been manipulated and prompted by methods and techniques, with that being the end result. And we're going to prove this as we go along and we get into the meat and potatoes. We're going to go into the details of what happens day to day from Thursday to Sunday night. Now, Brother Brian continues. He says the participant will feel that the speaker has experienced something wonderful, and this experience is dangled before the participant. There is the nagging fear that it might not happen to me. Now, I can tell you that from a personal testimonial that someone gave to me, that they questioned themselves because they were not responding the way that everybody else was around them. So this individual questioned, she didn't necessarily at the first question the experiences happening or question the Spiritual Renewal Weekend. She questioned herself. So I know that this does happen. I got it from a primary source. This does happen. Now, Brother Brian continues, this becomes a powerful stimulus to participate with diligence so that what happened to them might happen to me. And this is part of the process. It's peer pressure. You know, even as adults, friends, even as adults, if we're not careful, we will cave to peer pressure, just like we did when we were in middle school and high school and college. We will do our best to be part of the new thing that's taking place. Now, the next subtopic that Brother Brian goes into is something that's very close to my heart, because it's a concern that we have, that we see coming into the church. And that's about the appearance of the miraculous and the mysterious. And because of the overwhelming acceptance of mysticism and New Age teachings and techniques under the guise of Christianity, this is where I feel like there's an added concern for what takes place behind the secluded walls of Spiritual Renewal Weekends. Brother Brian continues this section as follows. The psychological techniques often include the appearance that something miraculous or at least mysterious is taking place. Proof that God is real, that this experience is genuine, and that something truly remarkable is taking place this weekend. Now, remember, friends, I'm sure you know it also, as Bible believing Christians, that not everything supernatural is from God. Not everything supernatural, or even something that seems supernatural, is from God. People need to get out of this mindset that when there's a seemingly something miraculous happening, or some miracle, or some mystery has just come onto the scene, that it does not mean that it is from God. And right now we have individuals chasing the miraculous around the planet because they believe that everything that looks supernatural or that is supernatural is from God. Friends, there are supernatural entities at work that are limited in their scope. Indeed, God limits them, but they still can manifest the supernatural. So we have to be very, very careful. Now, I'll give you an example. And this, again, was from a primary source, someone who had attended a spiritual renewal weekend. I'll tell you, it was a faith walk. And it was said that a woman who was widowed, who attended, she claimed to have seen her deceased husband. Now, if any of those people knew scripture well enough, they should have had a red flag right there, because to claim something like this is necromancy. It is having interaction with the dead. It is sorcery. It is divination. So immediately people should have said, if she is claiming to see her dead husband, then whatever's taking place here cannot be of God. Because God would never, ever contradict his own word, scripture. He would never do that. Now, Brother Brian continues. This miracle or mystery is supplied by the practice of having the leader call someone to witness without prior notification, by the practice of having one witness pray for another witness just before that witness speaks, that God would speak through them. Now, what I've noticed too in my studies is there are certain phrases that are always used. This is one of them, that God would speak through them. Now, considering the euphoria that's taken place thus far, and the fact that the attenders are probably tired, they have been fed sugary high starch foods, they are in the grips of being carried along by all of the emotion that's taking place, they will take this and receive it and be waiting for something to happen. So he continues, a loose biblical support that they use is sometimes offered for this off-the-cuff manner of speaking by referring to Luke 12, 11 and 12. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Well, without going off into a tangent, these people are taking this scripture out of context. That's not at all what it is about. That's not what it applies to. So let us continue. Though this is obviously taken out of context, to the naive, it may appear that the witness is speaking a message directly from God. And friends, without even saying this is a message, making the statement, this is a message directly from God, when you make a statement like that God would speak through them, this is what people hear. This person is talking for God. God is speaking through them. So it's just implied. Then he says the presence of miracles or mysterious happenings serves to heighten the anticipation and suggestibility of the participants. And I can also share with you that I have heard from other individuals who have spoken to people who have attended Spiritual Renewal Weekends that there have been some what they considered hyper-charismatic activities that have taken place. Now, they didn't go into detail because the attender didn't go into detail. They just said that there were some hyper-charismatic incidences. The next subtopic that Brother Brian shares with us in his book, and this is the final one under psychological techniques, is the unburdening and regression to childhood. Now this, I'm semi-familiar with it because I did a little bit of a research on it years ago, childhood regression, where they cause you to go back deep into your childhood and locate maybe some repressed memories or memories that surface from time to time that cause you pain. And so they do this as well. This is one of the catalysts for this new phenomenon that's taking place in the adult coloring book craze. Because I know again from primary source that they will make you sit and draw and color like a kindergartner. So Brother Brian says the following. Under the topic, the unburdening and regression to childhood, he says, the 72 hours of the weekend renewal experience include a nearly complete releasing of adult responsibilities of worries and cares. He says the abundance of snacks, there are abundance of snacks that are constantly available. It was and it's intended to be a pampered weekend where one is listened to and waited on around the clock. So he says they go back to a time before the adult worries and cares of life, back to childhood. And what I've also noticed is they talk to the attendees about the pain and sorrows that maybe you might have experienced growing up in your childhood and that kind of thing. So he says that the three free and easy days are a pampered life. And he said, this is designed to break down defenses and to lead to a closer bonding and affinity for both the group and the weekend experience. And as well as to allow the cathartic release of emotional tension, since children are more readily allowed to show their emotions, such as crying, than adults. And, he says, children are much more pliable. They quickly recognize their need for others to lead them and more compliantly take direction. So several reasons for this technique of childhood regression. Now we go on to the physical part of it. And this is of just great interest to me. When in my studies, I was very interested in the psychological techniques, but the physiological techniques were just absolutely amazing that this would even be incorporated into this. But understandably, it is a matching pair. When you talk about the psychological techniques, now you have the physiological techniques. And Brother Brian begins it this way. While some techniques are used to affect the emotions, others are aimed at the body, creating an altered state of consciousness. Okay, so I'm not sure if many of you have been with us from the beginning, but one of the side effects of practicing the silence is in going into a contemplative meditative state is when you come out of it, you are exhausted. So fatigue can be used as a tool for introducing things that the individuals need to adhere to. So Brian, Brother Brian goes on. Number one, he says, here's the subtopics. Number one, under physiological techniques is sleep deprivation. Because I'm sure all of you have been in that place where you either could not sleep or you did not sleep, but you were sleep deprived in from some kind of situation in your life. And remember how your brain is completely foggy. You really can't think straight. You can't think clearly. And this is one of the reasons for the sleep deprivation. Now let's read what Brother Brian, again, we're going to go into that into more detail as we get into individual. We're going to look deeply in detail at least two, maybe three spiritual renewal weekends. And it will be from across the board. One will likely be from a Catholic point of view. One will probably be from a Methodist point of view. And one will be from a Baptist spiritual renewal weekend point of view. So we're going to go into detail about this. Now, this is what Brother Brian says. He talks about the sleep deprivation. He said the chief of these physiological techniques is the interruption of sleep patterns. When a person does not get proper rest, the result is often changes in their mental state, sometimes serious changes. In fact, he says, anxiety and depression are often exacerbated by insomnia. Severe sleep deprivation can cause hallucinations, altered moods, and heightened suggestibility. Now he says, sleeping in an uncomfortable circumstance, in sleeping bags on the floor, or not really getting a full night's sleep, the lack of sleep has a wearing down effect which breaks down the defenses and creates the heightened suggestibility. And I can also tell you from firsthand knowledge that you generally are all sugared up with questionable foods, and then you are sent to bed late, and you are called to rise, to wake up early. So you're disrupting the pattern of sleep. You are not giving ample sleep. And you have already disrupted the eating cycle, the eating, what they eat and when you eat. He says the leaders of the Roman Catholic Crucio admit to the rigorous physical demands of the weekend. And he uses an excerpt from Marcin Marceau, who wrote a book, Crucio, Anatomy of a Movement. Now we're gonna get some excerpts from her book because I have it, and I'm gonna read you a few things out of that. But here's a quote that Brother Brian takes from that book, and this is coming from the Roman Catholic Crucio leadership. They say, the 4 days of initiation with long hours and an exhaustive schedule of events can create a strain. They go on to say, to prevent detrimental effects, those with questionable health are discouraged or in some cases excluded from joining. And we will go into more detail on that as well as we move along. Then he says, the next one is withdrawal from the familiar. Brother Brian says, the weekend renewal experience often takes place in an unfamiliar setting. The participant is removed from familiar sights and sounds of home and workplace. This change of physical circumstances creates a breaking down of defenses. Once again, and regular channels of information are removed. Newspaper, radio, television, your phone. They pick up your phone. They pick up your watch. They pick up your meds, and they hand your meds to you when they are needed. They don't keep your meds from you. They make sure you get them, but they are in control of your meds. Then he says virtually all contact with the outside world is severed. The Thursday experience, which is the Thursday when you get there, okay, the Thursday experience in the Roman Catholic Crucio is purposefully designed to disorient the candidate. Now, here is another quote from Marcine Marceau's book, Crucio, Anatomy of a Movement. It says the following. Clearly, Thursday is structured to effect a disorientation of the candidates. That is, to plunge them into a shocking state of self-awakening. The individuals must handle the shock in isolation since they are prohibited from speaking with other candidates and must remain silent. Now, this is the part where they go into the silence. They start it as a silent retreat. And this, friends, comes straight out of monasticism, out of the Church of Rome, because they teach that if you go into the silence, in whatever capacity, there is where you will find God. And we did several series on that topic. Let me continue reading. They are segregated from others and left without any support group to share their frustrations and anxieties. Candidates listen to words that may upset them and that are designed to do exactly that. The images and examples are purposefully selected to instill aloneness and helplessness. So everything, friends, is pre-planned. And if you are just the regular individual, the normal, the everyday guy, their pre-planned outcome is going to happen. It is very rare that a person will attend and they don't fall under this spell, in quotation, so to speak. Very rare does that happen. And if you have an individual that happens to have that kind of personality where they are not easily led because they have questions and they have red flags, they will make it look like that person is the one that is being ungodly and not being and refusing to be led by the Lord. So most people would not do that. That's why they try so hard. And I'm sure many of them have even pretended to experience all of this because they did not want to be singled out as not being obedient. Now, the next subtopic is loss of time consciousness. And this goes back to contemplative meditation, where people go into a deep meditative state, whether they're doing it through yoga or they're doing it through this perceived Christian, in quotations, contemplative meditation, which there is nothing Christian or biblical about contemplative meditation. Either way, you lose all track of time. We give examples of individuals who said they, when they went into a meditative state, they knew what time it was. And when they came out of it, it was like 4 or 5 hours later. Yet it seemed to them like it was just a simple, short period of time. So here, Brother Brian says the following. Routine is not only interrupted by the physical location, but by the artificial schedule. Often participants are urged to take off their watches and forget about the time so that they can simply take all that God has for them. That is one of the phrases that is used. You don't want to miss out on everything that God has for you. One of the phrases, friends. And they don't just urge you to take off your watches. They tell you you have to take off your watches. But, says Brother Brian, the effect is to keep up a what's coming next frame of mind. In other words, there's the mystery and the heightened fascination with what's getting ready to take place. He said when he attended some, he said he even noticed that the windows were blocked off with paper to remove any sense of night or day. And this, friends, is what's happening in many churches' youth groups today. I went somewhere just lately, probably like the last year or so, and this was promoted as a Christian youth gathering. And I walked in to this place, to this building, and it actually felt like I was in a nightclub because all of the windows had black paper. There was spotlights on everywhere. It had a nightclub feel. And I can warn you, listening friends, I can warn you, if you introduce this type of stimulus to your youth, they will go out in the world and go experience the real thing. They're going to want to experience the real thing, the real nightclub experience. Because why? Because it makes them feel good. So it's manipulative. When you see people turning out lights and lighting candles and putting on some spotlights and I've even seen smoke machines and misting machines and blocking out the windows, your youth are being manipulated. They are being manipulated. So be warned and be alert. Now he says, he has another quote from Marcin Marcos, Curcio, Anatomy of a Movement. And he says, in the Roman Catholic Curcio, this unexpectedness is essential. See, this is all pre-planned, friends. All of this is pre-planned. And for the regular individual, it always works. This is what they say. One factor with which marks the first evening, that's while you're in the silence, as well as the entire initiation, is the sense of unpredictability. So you have this heightened awareness, just waiting to see what the next thing is going to happen. He said the tenet of secrecy, even when modified, assures that they will be uninformed and possessing few ways to guard against the forthcoming events. Many then will be unprepared for handling the unexpected. That is that quote from Marcin Marco, Curcio, Anatomy of a Movement, which we will get into a little bit greater detail in. This physically disorienting technique, says Brother Brian, keeps the participant off balance and wears down the defenses, thus enabling the growing momentum of the mounting emotional tension, which then culminates in the cathartic release. So all of this, friends, is manipulated. It's all pre-planned ahead of time because it's a method and a technique, and it has been done before, and they know it works, and they continue to use it. The next subtopic is sensory overstimulation and manipulation. I read, a consistent feature of all weekend renewal experiences is tactile overstimulation. Tactile means touch. Tactile. Usually in the form of hugging. Touching has an undeniably powerful influence. And it does. It can be used for the good as well as for the evil. Psychologists often describe the psychological changes that take place as a result of physical touch. Now, Brother Brown goes on, as a result of the breakdown of the family in our society, many people live alone. They long for physical contact. You know, you can have people that deny this, but the people that deny this the most are the ones that need this appropriate, and I stress the word appropriate, physical contact. All of us do. I continue reading. With all the handshaking, back rubbing, and hugging, these weekend renewal experiences can meet this felt need, but they can also produce an overload of tactile stimulation. So, you know, that the individual can be overwhelmed. And then what do you do with people that are going to, they get all this, And then they go out into the world and it's completely the opposite of what they just experienced. Do you think they're going to be able to handle that? They'll have no coping skills because that's not what the real world is like. Another concern that we have. Then he says, on these weekend renewal experiences, the leaders encourage the violation of this personal space. They give unsolicited hugs, and they stand in the circle, and everyone will be instructed to turn to the left and give a back rub to the person next to you, and then you turn to the right and you do the same. So you have instant contact with strangers, because remember, they will not let you be anywhere near anybody that you know. This, that he says, the repeated violation of personal space tends to break down the taboos and the resistance that people feel. And then they go on, he said, it tends to join the group together and prematurely and synthetically, creates artificial feelings of closeness and oneness, which is part of the plan. It's part of the agenda. Brother Brian continues, senses other than touch can be manipulated as well through mood music and mood lighting. Okay, that's where I was just giving you an example about the darkened windows and the smoke and mirrors and the lights and the candles and the incense and the darkness of the room and the spotlights. It's the same thing. You can be Your feelings can be manipulated by these outward atmospheric designs. I continue reading. A consistent feature of the weekend renewal experience is candlelight in the darkened room. The candle and the dark room often enable the cathartic climax for at least three reasons. The first reason is anonymity. In the dark, it is easier to confess sins or profess commitment. And in the dark, it is not so awkward to begin crying, essential to the emotional release. But the flickering flame in the darkness also creates an eerie, mysterious feeling. And it also hints toward the suspenseful and the supernatural. This uncanny ambiance heightens suggestibility. Let me read that again. This uncanny ambiance heightens suggestibility. A candle in the darkness creates the somber mood that starts the tears falling. Now, what would you add to this somber mood atmosphere? Music, right? You would add music. We're here, Brother Brian talks about that. And the technique of mood music hardly needs explanation. It is coordinated to produce the appropriate feeling at precisely the right moment. You remember I talked to you about the major and minor chords. I know very little about music. The little bit that I know is from my husband, Prentice. But I know that music can affect your mood. You know, we have apps now that play music to relax by and to that are calming and soothing. So music is very manipulative. Then he goes on. Of course, mood music is a large part of the effectiveness of building the emotional tension, but is especially critical at the point of cathartic climax, he says. So he says, as a guitarist, he plays guitar. He said, I can recall numerous instances where in the darkened room with the candle in the middle, the leader would whisper, play some music. We knew what to do, he said. Play some quiet, sad chords, that's minor, but usually not a recognizable melody. It was mood music. And usually at this point, someone would sing a sad song and then the crying would commence. Then he says, after an appropriate amount of crying, the leader would change the mood of the group, and the vehicle of change was the tempo of the music. A brisk song Brother Braun says, of praise would turn the tears to giddy laughter. With the emotions fully spent, the result is a sense of relief and inner tranquility. But oh, so temporary. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. He says, the catharsis has served its purpose and achieved its effect. Then he goes on to the next subtopic, which is hyperventilation. Now, some of you might be kind of quizzically going, what in the world does that have anything to do with this? Well, we're getting ready to explain it to you. Here's what Brother Brian writes in his book, Curcio, Little Courses in Catharsis under hyperventilation. He says, hyperventilation is an overall label for the effects caused by overbreathing and repetitive sighing. The condition is easily induced by having people do continuous loud shouting or chanting. Overbreathing can also be produced through intense heavy expelling of air in more private, quiet, ritualized chants. That is what happens in yoga, and it definitely is what happens in contemplative breath prayers, because it teaches you to be focused on your breathing. And of course, it goes on to explain to you how your breathing needs to be controlled and how it should be done so that you can achieve that meditative state. So Brother Brian continues, the medical effect of such overbreathing is to cause a drop in the level of carbon dioxide in the blood, creating a temporary feeling of lightheadedness or dizziness. The result is that people feel high, and he has that in quotations, but also experience a loss of critical thinking and judgment. And he goes on to talk about how, you know, there's unscrupulous religious leaders about that will often direct people to chant or breathe deeply and then reinterpret the resultant effects of hyperventilation as a mystical experience. But let me also add that this can create a mystical experience, not just a perceived mystical experience, but it can actually put the individual into a mystical meditative state. Then he goes on to say, spirited singing, enthusiastic chanting, deep breathing, and vigorous activity can all quicken the respiratory rate and produce hyperventilation. And most of all of these are present in the program of weekend experiences. And let me add to his writing that if you, and I'm sure everybody has either experienced this or you've seen it, uncontrollable, deep, uncontrollable sobbing many times will lead to hyperventilation, or someone being highly anxious about something or having an anxiety attack. This will cause hyperventilation. So this is also employed within the spiritual renewal movement. The next subtopic is repetitive motion. And he quotes the following. This is from a book by Margaret Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R, not Margaret Sanger, who's the Planned Parenthood creator. Margaret Singer, who wrote a book called Cults in Our Midst. And he quotes her in the following. Constant swaying motions, clapping, adding to chanting, or almost any repeated motion helps to alter a person's general state of awareness. Often the repetitive movements are combined with forms of chanting to blend the effects of hyperventilation and dizziness. Dizziness can be produced by simple spinning or spin dancing, in which the person also whirls around and around. Prolonged swaying and trance dancing, often done kneeling and rocking from side to side and backward and forward, with rhythmic repetitive drumming and background music. Again, the effects of these motions are relabeled by group leaders as ecstasy or new levels of awareness. Brother Brian says, it should be noted that rhythmic motions such as swaying and clapping are regular features in the weekend experience. He says they contribute to the altered state of awareness. Now, see, we've reached the end of our time again today. And as always, we are happy that you decided to join us, and we hope that you do so on our next program. We pray that you have a blessed day.